The Major League Baseball offseason is full of trade speculation and rumors. On this episode, I'm going to play the role of GM, and we'll discuss some of the recent trade speculations that have been going around. Are these moves smart for the Yankees to make? We'll discuss this and more on the latest episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Overtime Media.
Welcome to another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Before we get into Yankees baseball, this is a special show for us. This is episode number 50 of our program. We are very excited that we have reached this small but yet big milestone. And we appreciate every single one of you who have been loyal listeners to our program. We cannot express enough how much it truly means to us that you guys like to talk Yankees baseball with us. A lot of things go on. A lot of ups, a lot of downs, but in the end, we all have one thing in common. We love Yankees baseball. We love discussing everything that's going on. So from the bottom of our hearts here at the Pinstripe Talk podcast crew, we thank you for tuning in, and we appreciate that you guys take time out of your busy schedules to join in on our conversation. We do this to interact with you guys. You know, life is hectic. Life gets busy. A lot of things go on, but at the end of the day, one thing is for certain, I absolutely love being on the airwaves. I love producing a show, and I can't stress enough how important it is to me to continue putting out content, and we're far from done. There's a lot more coming from the Pinstripe Talk team. Make sure you stay tuned and keep engaged with us, especially as the offseason continues. Reminder, follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND. Follow my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. To be honest with you, I'm a lot more active on the personal account. But again, follow both accounts. It really helps our show. Find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. If you haven't done so already, subscribe, rate, and review our show on Apple Podcast. You could also find us on Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Stitcher. You name it, our show is there for you. Again, there's a lot of ways to listen to our show. We encourage you to use every single outlet that you can. Share it with your friends. Let them join in on the conversation. Our show will continue to grow as you guys help it grow. You are a vital part of our show, and we hope that you continue to listen on, especially as the hot stove heats up. Today's show, we are going to discuss two popular topics. Number one, we're going to break down the Houston Astros and this whole crazy situation that's occurring, and I'm going to give you my take on the whole situation. Then, later on, we're going to have a little fun. I am going to take the role of GM. Yes, Brian Cashman's great. I love Brian Cashman. However, we're going to let him take a little break, and we're going to look at some popular trade scenarios that have gone over social media and on the internet over the last couple of weeks, and we'll discuss those deals and see if there might be possibilities for the Yankees. Of course, you know, teams might not want what is offered. It's a lot of speculation, but it's good to look at both sides of the spectrum and see if those deals might be something that the two sides could come to an agreement on. And of course, you're going to see a lot of familiar names on the Yankee side. A lot of names are going to reoccur, but we'll talk more about that as the show goes on. Now, as we begin to talk about our first topic today, I just want to make it known, as you already know, I'm a diehard New York Yankees fan. I live and breathe by the Yankees, and I'm not going to deny that. But when I see a situation like what's going on with the Houston Astros, I think of it in a bigger perspective. You see, we all think about it and part of our team and the team that we root for. And if you haven't noticed or heard or paid attention to the news, the Houston Astros are being investigated for cheating in terms of stealing signs. And there's a whole speculation that they're using cameras and video equipment to help them do this. And they have setups in their dugouts and different things that they're doing. And more keep coming out in terms of this whole scandal. And if you want more information on it, I'm going to direct you to two individuals. Number one, Ken Rosenthal, who has been on top of the ball with almost everything that's gone on. And the other one, who I think is even more of a priority to follow, is John Boy with John Boy Media, who has gone and done video work and found examples and has really done a really nice job of keeping everybody up to date with what these players and what the speculation is saying. And he's basically nailing it on the head, doing the investigation for Major League Baseball. If you watch the videos, there's clapping in the dugout, banging, whistling. There's different things that they're doing that are making many people believe that signs are being stolen. And this is a very bad thing for baseball in general, because let's be real. A lot of people steal signs, especially if you're on the bases. You know, it's part of the game. If you pick up something, you're going to steal that sign. But when it comes down to technology and further cheating among the game, it's a really bad look for Major League Baseball as a whole. And I don't want to sound naive, because if the Astros are doing it, I'm sure that other teams have tried it or are doing it. But the Astros got caught. And now I don't know what's going to happen in terms of penalties and punishments and whatnot. And I don't even know what Major League Baseball is going to rule in terms of this. But I will say this. It really leaves a tainted feel to what the Astros have done over the last couple of years. And you see in the video examples that John Boy has posted. You see it all over social media. This is a really, really, really bad look. And let's face it. The Astros have a lot of talent on their roster. But by seeing these signs that they're cheating, it really leaves a mark on the game. Now, I don't know how Major League Baseball is going to handle this. I don't know if there's going to be major penalties assessed. But I do know one thing. Major League Baseball has to do something, and they have to make the point clear. Because this is a scandal that is not going to go away. The more that comes out, the worse it's going to get. And we're just in a spiral right now. The more it comes out, it's just getting crazier by the day. New developments occur every single day. And it's going to leave a stain on the game. So Major League Baseball has to jump in and do their part. And fix this and rectify the situation. Because you see it from players. Heck, the Yankees were affected. They heard it. They complained about a whistling in the dugout. They had their ideas about what was going on. It seems like a lot of people did, including players. But Major League Baseball kind of turned another cheek. And what you've seen recently was that they've been monitoring, looking for this in Major League ballparks. So obviously, they had a tip that this was going on. So before this gets even more out of hand, Major League Baseball has to stop this and get back on track. They have to figure out a way to punish the Astros for what they've done, especially if the evidence is clear and there. And from what we've seen, that evidence is definitely there. So that's all I'm going to say on the topic. As we go on, I hope that this comes to a resolution soon. This has been a major topic of the offseason, and I'm sure people are sick of hearing about it already. I'm sure people are waiting for more to come out. But as a fan of the game, I don't want this in the game. I think there's no room for it, and I hope that a resolution does come where it encourages teams not to do this in the future. Now that the serious part of this show is over, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to put on our GM cap. You're not going to want to miss this. Stay tuned. November is one of the great sports months of the year. Of course, the Bronx Bombers aren't in action, but there's a lot of other sports going on, such as football, college hoops, the NBA, NHL, golf, racing, and more. MyBookie is the place to get in on all the action. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. Of course, props, futures, and in-game betting are also available too. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use the promo code OVERTIME to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code OVERTIME to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. And we are back here on the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Overtime Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. So like I mentioned right before the break, we're going to play GM. We're going to talk about some popular trade scenarios that some writers throughout the game have kind of proposed over the last couple of weeks. We're going to look at these offers in detail and see if not only they'd be a good option for the Yankees, but if they'd be a good option for both teams involved. So let's start with this one from Jim Bowden from The Athletic. Now let's remember, the Yankees have their shortstop Didi Gregorius on the free agent market. If the Yankees do not want to bring Didi back or feel that the price tag is a little too high, one of the trade options that might be a solution for the Bronx Bombers is Francisco Lindor of the Cleveland Indians. Now, before we get into this trade offer, Lindor is a switch hitting shortstop, has 2 years left on his current contract, is 26 years old, coming off a year where he hit .284 with 32 home runs and 74 RBIs, a four-time All-Star, Gold Glove winner twice, two-time Silver Slugger Award winner, finished in the top 15 in MVP voting each of the last 4 years. This guy is the real deal and would be a tremendous addition to the Yankees. And you can say that if you get him now, you have 2 years to convince him that New York is the place he wants to stay long term. So here's the trade offer that Bowden put together on The Athletic. He said that the Yankees could offer a package which is centered around Davey Garcia, Miguel Andujar, and shortstop prospect Oswald Peraza. Now, we all know who Davey Garcia is, one of the Yankees' top pitching prospects. A guy that a lot of people think has electric stuff, but people question, due to his size, he's only 5'9", that whether or not he'll be a starter or reliever once he makes the big leagues. Then you have Miguel Andujar. We all know how big of a year Andujar had his rookie year, hitting .297, 47 doubles, 27 home runs, but he's coming off a shoulder surgery that cost him the majority of the 2019 season. And then the other prospect that Bowden lists is teenage shortstop Oswald Peraza. Now, he's a guy that defensively they say is very good, but still needs a little work in terms of offense. And he has the tools to one day become an elite shortstop. If I'm the Yankees and that's the offer that they're getting for a guy like Francisco Lindor, I definitely think that I would take it. And here's why. Number one, you give up Garcia, and that's a tough blow, but you don't know what he's going to be. The questions around him are still there and are going to be there until the Yankees get him up to the big leagues, or he gets traded and gets to the big leagues elsewhere. Say what you want about Andujar, but there's still questions about how his shoulder's going to be. You don't know what player he's going to be when he gets back on the field. Obviously, you hope that he's healthy and that he's productive, but he's a guy that could go either way. And with the emergence of Gio Urshela, Andujar becomes a little bit expendable. And we're going to talk about him a lot on this show because a lot of the trade offers that we do talk about include him. And then Peraza, 19 years old. Yeah, he has a chance to be good down the road, but the Yankees are trying to win now. You add Andujar to the Indians' infield, and they become pretty strong. You put him at third, you have Jose Ramirez move over to second. Yeah, you got to fill the gap at short, but I'm sure the Indians could find a way to do that. Maybe they do sign a Didi or somebody of that caliber, or they make a trade for somebody else. But if that's the offer that they're asking for Lindor for 2 years of Francisco Lindor, I think I'm taking that deal. I'm going to sign off on that one. I love Francisco Lindor. I think he's an ass. I think he's a superstar in this game. I think the Yankees would be dumb to pass this one up. Yeah, you give up Garcia, and Andujar's tough to give up, but what you're getting back in return could help you bring a World Series championship to the Bronx in 2020 and 2021. And then you could assess whether or not Lindor's your full-time, long-term option at shortstop. So this offer number one, I would accept. I think it's a good side for the Yankees. I don't know if the Indians take just that. I think they would need a little bit more. But if that's the offer, I would definitely take it. Signed, sealed, delivered. Frankie Lindor would be my shortstop in the Bronx if I was the GM of the New York Yankees. Now, this next trade offer really intrigued me. And it has to do with two big rivals that are in the same division. Joe Giglio from NJ.com feels that the Yankees and Red Sox could be trade partners this offseason. The new Red Sox front office executive, Chaim Bloom, who was formerly with the Rays, is not ruling out the possibility of talking to the Yankees about trade talks. So Giglio, in his article, said that the Yankees could be a potential match for superstar outfielder Mookie Betts. And before you say the Yankees are loaded in the outfield, hear it out, okay? Yes, you have Aaron Judge in left. Giancarlo Stanton's contract's just not going away overnight. But Aaron Hicks is expected to miss most of, if not all of, the 2020 season due to Tommy John surgery. So on a one-year deal where Betts is supposed to make around $28 million in arbitration, would slide in as the team's everyday center fielder. Now, the Yankees could decide, you know, we want to keep Betts long-term. He's 27 years old. We think he's a long-term solution and extend him. Or they can use him for the year and win a World Series title, hopefully, and get the most out of their investment. And of course, it would take a lot to get him. Giglio cites that the deal he would make would send Betts and the lefty, Jay Groom. You'll remember Groom as the 12th overall pick in the 2016 Major League Baseball draft. Kid from Barnegat, New Jersey, so coming back to the Bronx would be like a homecoming. Hasn't really done much in the minor leagues, had surgery, still in low A ball, so he hasn't really developed yet, but still very young. And the Yankees, in turn, would trade Andujar, outfielder Clint Frazier, Lewis Gill, who's a right-handed pitcher, and right-hander Michael King to the Red Sox. And now, this would help the Yankees because, number one, you put Betts in center field and have him hit leadoff. That just adds to the Yankees' dynamite lineup. And it gives you a chance to try to sign him long-term. They might get him to realize he likes to play in New York and convince him to stay. And Groom off to Tommy John. He has potential, but he's a guy that you could develop over time. And then if you're the Red Sox, you get Andujar, who's 24 years old, under club control till 2024. Really doesn't have a position. You could put him at third base, but they already have Rafael Devers. You might end up moving him to the right side of the diamond. And you get a guy like Clint Frazier, who really hasn't fit in with the Yankees since they traded for him, but he'll get a fresh start and every day at bats as the team's right fielder. And it helps the team save money over time because, as you could tell, the Red Sox are trying to shed salary and try to get their salary cap lower. So it would make sense for both sides. And then you get Gill and King, who are two highly touted prospects, to kind of add to the puzzle or the trade puzzle with that. You know, for the Red Sox, it makes sense. For the Yankees, I think it would make sense. The only thing that wouldn't make sense to me is long term. Personally, I don't want to see Miguel Andujar playing third base or first base for the Red Sox over the next 5 to 6 years and absolutely crushing the baseball over the Green Monster. And I really don't want to see Frazier having an emergence and taking it out on the Yankees that it didn't work out and playing absolute dynamite against them. So I would say no to this deal. I like the idea of Betts playing center field for them for the 1 year. I don't love the idea of giving up so much club control on two guys that I feel have high ceilings, especially keeping them in the division. Betts might walk, but those guys are still under club control. So unlike the first deal, I would say no. Enticing, yes. Is it enticing enough? Not so much. Gonna have to pass on that one. Really tough draw. I know a lot of people would say I'm crazy for passing up on a guy like Mookie Betts, but at the end of the day, I want to get some bang for my buck, and I think that Andujar could be used to get a little bit of a better long-term solution to help this team win. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get right back into the topic of Miguel Andujar, because we have four more potential trade packages that might ultimately include the 24-year-old third baseman. Stay tuned for more here on the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Overtime Media. We're back here on the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Once again, we're powered by Overtime Media. Show number 50 is in progress, and we are so happy that you could join us for this big day in our podcast history. You want to support our show? Not only follow us on social media, which we talked about earlier, but buy a shirt from Teespring. Find our Teespring account on our social media feeds and go order a shirt today. Public advertising is free advertising. Wear a shirt. Help get our podcast name out there. All your support is definitely appreciated. All funds raised by Teespring go toward the creation of our show. Go to Teespring today. Order a shirt. Great holiday gift. We got five of them. Get yours today. Now let's get back to the trade talk, shall we? And the name you're going to hear a lot is Miguel Andujar. Andujar is a special talent, 24 years old. Teams want him because of the potential. 2018, teams saw how he hit the cover off the ball. Hitting 47 doubles, 27 home runs, .297 batting average. Limited to just 12 games in 2019, but teams realized that he might be expendable. The Yankees have Gio Urshela and might elect to keep Urshela as their everyday third baseman. They're looking for pitching help, and Andujar may be that guy to get them that help that they need. And he's a special talent. Yeah, third base might not be his position, struggled a little defensively, but he's still young to the point where he can grow and mature. And for a team looking for a young cornerstone piece, that might be a perfect fit. And SNY released an article the other day with four possible trade solutions that might include Miguel Andujar. And John Harper is the one from SNY.TV who wrote the article. I have to give him credit for the article. The first trade proposal that was given out was Andujar to the Atlanta Braves. In this trade scenario, the Yankees would acquire Max Fried and Tucker Davidson. And now, a couple of things have to happen for the Braves to need a third baseman. Number one, Josh Donaldson would have to sign elsewhere. He would have to go somewhere as a free agent. Then, the team would have to decide that Austin Riley wouldn't be a fit at third base and ultimately move him to left field. And the Braves have a pitching surplus, so this would be something that they could afford to do. Max Fried, in his first year at the big league club, was 17-6 with a 4.04 ERA. There's belief that he'll get better as time goes on. And Davison's another pitching prospect who is a lefty and spent the year in Double-A. So he's a little bit away from making the big leagues, but still another valuable pitcher that might come in handy. And we are going to talk about it all offseason. The Yankees are looking for pitching, and this might be a solution where it works for both sides. Andujar goes to the National League, becomes the Braves' everyday third baseman. They get club control on him. And the Yankees add a young, talented starter that over time could develop into one of the top starters in their rotation and hopefully in the game. So if you're looking at it from both sides, the deal would make sense. However, if I'm playing GM, I don't think that's enough for me. I need more than Max Fried. I think Fried is a good young pitcher, but on a team that's ready to win now, I don't know if I could trust him to be that guy that the Yankees desperately need to help them win the World Series. And let's look. I hate looking at ERA, but I'm going to anyway. He had a 4 ERA in Atlanta in the National League. Coming to the American League with the DH in Yankee Stadium, you'd have to expect that the ERA would go up and the numbers would go up. So I'm going to take a hard pass on this, although I am very intrigued by this possible trade solution. This next trade offer sends Andujar to LA, to the Angels. But in this article, the Yankees get back one of the game's top regarded prospects in Joe Adell. He's a 20-year-old center fielder. Seems like he needs a little bit more time in the minor leagues, but he could be expendable given that the Angels kind of do have a center fielder. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but his name is Mike Trout. So unless Adell has plans of moving to a corner outfield spot or they have visions of Trout moving to left field or right field during his big contract, this might be a player that may be expendable for the Angels. And if you tell them that they're going to get a 30-home run guy in Andujar, I think they might end up pulling the trigger. For me, though, I say no. And here's why. Yeah, right now the Yankees have a need for an outfielder, especially a center fielder. But Adell's not ready, and Aaron Hicks is coming back, and you have Stanton, and you have Judge. Right now you have Frazier, and you have Brett Gardner, who looks like he'll be back. So although it'd be nice to get this guy, although this guy might help you in a trade package in the future, I would say no. I'm still holding off to get a little bit more for Andujar, especially on the pitching side of things. The next one has him going to Detroit for Matt Manning. And this is a pitching prospect, 22 years old, a tall right-hander, had a really dominant year in Double-A. But again, it's another move that's looking towards the long-term future. I think that in order to get Andujar, I think you have to give the Yankees a piece back that will help them win now. They're looking at now. Yes, I'm sure they're looking at the future. They're trying to get guys who are going to help them now and later. But for the time being, you're looking at 2020 as a year you're trying to win the World Series. If Manning's not ready to be a rotation guy this year, he really doesn't help you. And it's something I'm sure the Yankees will consider. Is he a good pitcher? Absolutely. Does he have a bright future ahead? Absolutely. Would you take him for in a package for another player? Oh, of course you would. But if I'm the Yankees, I'm still trying to hold off to get a major league ready player in return for the services of Andujar. And now this final one, and I'm glad this one was the last one, is one that's really intriguing, but it doesn't add up to me, to be quite honest with you. Miguel Andujar goes to the Cubs for Kyle Schwarber, the same Kyle Schwarber that Cashman tried to get in 2016 for Aroldis Chapman. Thank goodness that didn't work out, because that guy Gleyber Torres they got, he's pretty damn good if you ask me. And Schwarber's coming off a great year. 155 games, he hit 38 home runs, a 250 average, and he's a guy that you're not going to hit very well for average, but the power's there. And imagine his lefty stroke in Yankee Stadium. Imagine him playing his home games in the Bronx. The only thing that's concerning for Schwarber is, where do you play him? Do you give him time in left field? That's where he mostly played for the Cubs. You remember, he's a converted catcher. Really wasn't great behind the plate. Then he went to left field. Or do you try to move him to first base and have him play a little left, a little first? You know, maybe spell Luke Voit in certain situations. That's the only problem why I would say no to this deal. Is because Schwarber really doesn't have a position. Yeah, left field would be nice. And you could DH him, you could rotate him with Stanton. But I just don't feel like this would help the Yankees. And, of course, the Cubs would have to make a handful of moves this offseason and most likely would have to trade Chris Bryant for this to be an option. But I just don't think that adding a guy who doesn't have much versatility is going to help them in the long haul. Yeah, sure, his bat is fantastic. You would take that any day. Add his lefty presence into that Yankee lineup and, you know, that would be a big help. But, again, I just feel like it's not enough to help this team get over the hump to win a World Series. So, again, I know I'm a tough GM, but I'm going to say no to this one. I really am. This was a tough one for me. I like Schwarber. I think he'd be a nice fit in any American League lineup due to the fact that he'd be a great DH. But let's remember, Stanton's contract's not going anywhere, and I just think that right now the Yankees could find another option that might fit better in terms of offensive and defensive production. That's the only thing. If Schwarber was a little more versatile, if you told me he could play first base and handle first base, I think I'd be a little more confident in making this deal. But however, you wouldn't know until you got him on the field to see if you could transition him there and see if it would be an option, even if it was a limited time basis. So again, I love these trade speculations. I think they're great, but I'm going to have to say no deal. But I have to admit, it's a lot of fun being a GM, and I'm sure it's a hard job. I'm just sitting here making trade speculations. I'm not the one pulling the trigger. I'm sure there's a lot of pressure on guys like Brian Cashman around this time, and I give them credit for the job that they do because it's definitely not easy. We're going to take our final commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show, talk to you a little bit about the future, what's ahead for our show, and more. Stay tuned. And we are back here on the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Overtime Media. This is going to wrap up our show for today. And I know that it's a little bit odd with the commercial break so late, but there are certain people that I want to thank as we hit show number 50. First and foremost, thank you to all of you for listening in and supporting our show. I mentioned it earlier, and I'll say it again. We are so lucky to have you. We thank you for all the support. We hope that you continue to support our show, and hopefully you will continue to share our link and help promote our show as we move forward. There's a lot of big things happening, and we're happy that you're along for the ride. We would like to thank Overtime Media, our host. They are tremendous. Justin Hall, our producer. He is fantastic. He helps us with everything we need for the show. We cannot thank him and Overtime Media for their support as well. To all the listeners, again, keep listening to the show. A lot of big things are happening. As we hit episode 50, I am proud to announce that we have started Delahanty Media, and I will get into the we in a minute. We have launched Delahanty Media. This is going to be a platform where you're going to see things from our show here. You're going to see other shows coming into fruition. Our photography stuff that I do. Everything that we're doing is going to be featured on Delahanty Media. So join the wave. That's a very exciting thing for us. Also, the Let's Debate podcast. Yes, the Let's Debate sports podcast will be starting up very soon. That is a show that is going to be all sports talk with myself and my cousin Kyle Delahanty. We are finally getting the two of us onto a microphone together to discuss sports. This is going to be a great thing. We are very excited for this. The launching of the show will be happening within the next couple of weeks. We finally have a name, the Let's Debate podcast. We'll keep you updated on that. Make sure you stay tuned. I think that's a great way to end the show, especially episode 50. I gave you guys a shout out, said thank you. You know, we talked about the future. We talked about Delahanty Media and, of course, Let's Debate podcast. I'm so excited to get that going. Yes, I love talking by myself about sports, but I can't wait to enhance my text conversations with my cousin who talks to me basically all the time. We love talking sports, and we're happy to start engaging you guys in that as well. We have a lot of cool topics we're going to discuss that we've been already planning. We hope that you join in and listen on to that podcast as well. Before we wrap up today's show, find us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Search us up on Facebook by looking up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Again, subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcast. Find us on Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Simplecast, CastBox, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Stitcher, you name it. The show is there for you. That's all we got for today. The Pinstripe Talk Podcast, episode number 50, is finished. Thank you all for listening in. As always, let's go Yankees. Can't wait for more hot stove things to occur. We can't wait to talk about everything that the Yankees do this offseason, and we can't wait to engage our viewers just like you. Once again, thank you for listening. The Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Overtime Media. We'll catch you next time.